Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is an interview on December 19th. Is that right?
Yeah.
2001 with Mr. Jack Sylvester at
702 East 8th Avenue
in Durango. And Jack, let's just start off all the way back. Talk about your father and being in the state of Colorado.
I was born in Boulder. I was started in the San Luis Valley, and mother went home to have me. And folks came to the San Luis Valley in 1892. My dad and his five brothers and sister and parents. And they farmed in the San Luis Valley and ranched cattle and sheep. And they went busted in 1914. Dad ran sheep, and he was a state legislator, and in 27 and 29. And he was on the school board of the Center District for 27 years. He was a college graduate of CC. Mother graduated from Boulder. And he ran sheep, and that is, we survived the Depression, but it was kind of hard. And I graduated from high school in 34, went to Boulder, but I didn't graduate.
Where did you graduate high school?
Center Consolidated School. Then I went to Boulder,
So you're 85 years old now.
Yeah. Well, February I will be.
Well, that's good enough. Close enough. You must have just learned Spanish growing up.
Well, we had all Spanish-speaking people working for us. Our herders were Spanish people. And they were just like my uncles, and they came up from New Mexico and worked for my dad for sometimes for 20 years at a time. But, they'd go back in the wintertime. One year, Marcelino Gonzalez said to my dad, "Si Jacobo no puede preguntar por la comida en español, no puede comer," which translates, if Jack can't ask for his meals in Spanish, he's not going to eat. So I learned. And I've spoken Spanish all my life. It's been assets because I have lots of Mexican friends.
So tell me the routine. The herders lived in the villages in New Mexico?
They had, lots of them had little ranches of their own, just a few acres and adobe houses. They lived in the little towns of ranches of Taos and Taos and La Madera, and their names were Roque Barrera, Jesus Padilla, Marcelino Gonzalez, Gaspar Heron, and I don't remember all of them.
So, what year were you born?
17.
Okay. And you said your father went broke in 1914.
Yes, Sylvester broke.
But did you keep the land? Did you stay down in the valley?
No. Oh, yeah, we stayed in the valley. But then we lived in... He was married in 1915, and stayed on the old home place until it was sold, and then we lived in the town, and he leased land, and then they had a partnership in the Triangle Ranch, which was 7,000 acres of brushland and meadowland, and not very valuable land, but it's sheep feed.
So how many bands did he have?
Three at one time.
And how many in a band?
About 1,000 head of ewes, and their lambs, of course. But the routine was feed him in the valley, in clean-up fields, potatoes, grain, and alfalfa and clover in the wintertime, and then trail him up to the high range with a forest permit in the summer. The forest let us on June 20th at that time, and we had to be off by September 15th. Our trail took 23 days to get to our summer allotment, which was Ute Creek, and we started out on the Lagerita, and then they went to the Little Lagerita, and then up to the division of Canaro between South Fork and Sawatch Park and the Rio Grande River, and followed that divide up past Embargo Creek, and then came down off the hill at Half Moon Pass into Wasson Park, and then back of Creed, down Deep Creek, and up past the town of Bachelor, and then we went across Snow Mesa, down onto the road between Creed and Lake City, and Slum Gullion Road, and we usually met the dad there when he picked up the strays, or the limp, lame, and hurt sheep, and give us food for going on the trail. And then we went up by Heart Lake, and then down East Lost Trail and up West Lost Trail, down East Pole Creek and up West Pole Creek to the head of the river, the Rio Grande. I could step across it there, 8 miles of Silverton, and then back to Beartown and Bear Creek and Starvation Gulch and down the West Fork of Ute Creek and up the East Fork where our range was. But it took 23 days. You got up at about 3:30 in the morning and got your breakfast, and then the sheep went out, and I picked up the camp and packed the burros and caught up with the sheep every morning. We had lots of storms and went lots of times. I can remember one storm in particular. We were up on above Half Moon Pass and it hailed, and I had a sweatshirt on and a leather jacket and a slicker, and I was wet as I'd been dipped in the river, and we went down into the timber and pitched our tent in 8 inches of hail, colder than hell. And then the next morning, all my pack ropes were wet, and I packed the burros as well as I could, but my ropes slipped, and I had packs under the bellies of lots of burros that day. It was the day I remember. And then another day, we were on the ridge past the road, and we had a lightning storm, and lightning all around us. I was scared for really, and the Mexicans were crossing themselves, and I was wishing to hell I could. And the horses were braying and the sheep were bunching, and it was a pandemonium, but we made through that. But I've been scared of lightning ever since. Then the sheep were grazed, and we packed sheep salt into them once a week from the Sky High Ranch there above the Farmers Union Reservoir. And we Rio Grande Pyramid was on our allotment, and Dad was, those old sheep men were conservationists, because Dad wouldn't let his herders bed down the flock the same location twice. And a lot of the cattlemen and sheepmen, now all that range country has been turned into a conservancy district, and there are no livestock permitted to grow there. I mean, summer there.
Tell me about the herders. Tell me who they were and what they liked to do, and what was it like to spend the summer with these men?
Well, they liked to fish a little bit, but they took care of their flocks, and my dad or anybody, their whole life depended upon the herders, and what they brought home in the fall in weight. They kept a clean camp, and they were real clean. They were real cleaner than any gringo camp. I've seen gringo camps, which is American, that were awful filthy. Those Mexicans had clean camps. Their menus weren't very, caro syrup, beans, flour, button, salt, sugar. And they had to make do with about that.
So, did they like to carve in trees?
Well, not much. There weren't many aspen up there. There weren't any aspen on our allotment. In the fall, I think they carved on trees down on the foothills, but I don't remember of any carvings up on Ute Creek, because there were no aspen there, as pine and spruce.
Do you remember any particular cairns or piles of rock, maybe, things that the Indians put together?
Well, on the top of the pyramid is a cairn, and all along the trail were piles of rock where the sheep herders had piled them up. The Lagerita Trail was beset with signs. This is the center of the trail, or this is the east end of the trail, or but you followed those trails, Lagerita Drive, and I can show you on the map where it went.
So you're saying there's a cairn on the top of Pyramid Peak?
Yes. I was there.
Who put it there?
I don't know. Sheep herders, I think. I think they did it, most of all those that are on the trail.
How tall are they?
Oh, about 4 feet. I don't think Indians. I really don't.
You don't think the Utes did that?
No.
Did you find any Indian locations on Ute Creek?
No. There were a lot of Indian locations in the San Luis Valley. Up by the cuts of Swatch, I found lots of arrowheads out in the brush east of Swatch, southeast of Swatch. And there are Ute camps on the Cochetope, Ute camp sites.
On Cochetope Pass?
Cochetope Pass.
What about in what we would call the San Juan National Forest?
Well, I don't know. They were there because the Utes had all western Colorado, or really all of Colorado at one time. And then they just gradually put them down on, in Cortez, the Mountain Utes, and the other Utes, it's Ignacio.
What about any rock art or carvings in rocks?
There are petroglyphs, I guess you call them, in the rocks on the mouth of Loggerita Creek, a lot of narrow Canero Creek, and they are recognized as Indian work.
Mouth of Canero Creek, meaning in the San Luis Valley?
Oh, yes. See the Canero Creek. The Swatch Creek comes in at the north. Canero Creek is southwest, and the Loggerita Creek, they all come under the valley and are no more. But they do have pretty good river in the spring. But they go out into the valley and disperse.
Do you remember any stories that the herders would tell you?
No, I don't.
So what was the routine? When would they go home to their villages in New Mexico?
After the lambs were sold, and then Dad kept one per herder, one herder for the winter with a herd, and the ones went home where they had two herders to the band up there in the mountains, and one went home and maybe one stayed and. Or maybe you hired somebody else for the valley, because that was all fenced. The foothill feed was good, and then the cleanup fields were in the San Luis Valley, and they were fenced.
So two herders per band, so that's six herders for 3,000 sheep?
Yeah, on the trail and in the summer.
And they had 30-30 rifles?
No, I had a 45-70 and a 30 caliber. It was they were just, you didn't use them. They were in the scabbard. A 45-70 is a big slug, and if you shot it, you landed on your butt. The other one was a little 30-06, I think. I haven't had a gun since the Army.
So did you see any grizzly bears?
I saw one. We were coming down the trail, and he was eaten on a carcass of a burro that had been killed by lightning. And I saw him across the park, and we went over there, and the horses wouldn't go near there. You had to urge them, and they wouldn't go near the smell. And then I heard mountain lion, and that is it sounds like a woman screaming in mortal terror. It puts the shivers in your back. But I didn't see it.
Like the stories of La Llorona.
Yeah. I saw the tracks of one once down on Clear Creek, and I'd heard him or her, but I never saw him.
Days to get from the San Luis Valley up and over.
Yeah.
And if you were there...
About 20 days coming home, the lambs were bigger and traveled faster. Dad got caught in a winter snow, and he said, there goes 10 pounds per lamb. And it did. Because, you know.
What do you remember about the trail and the campsites? Did everybody use the same campsites?
Well, no, not necessarily. They had bunches, and you didn't want to get mixed on the trail. And so you camped where there was good grass, hopefully, and they trailed from about 4 o'clock until 10 in the morning, and then grazed all afternoon. And then the camp tender, which was me, set up camp and cooked for the men. And we went to bed just at dark. There was no... We were tired. There was no monkey business. No sitting around the campfire. And it was hard getting up in the morning and building a fire and cooking breakfast about 4 o'clock.
What did you cook for breakfast?
Well, usually beans that had been cooked, or stew, mutton stew, or sometimes fried potatoes, and always bread, tortillas, and buñuelos.
Buñuelos, what's that?
Well, it's Indian squaw bread. What I mean, you make it there, tuck a hole in it, and fry it in fat. Tortillas are dry.
What else do you remember about those days?
Well, they were some of the happiest in my life. I thought I was abused then, but I'd do it all over again if I could. My cousin and I always wanted to go over the trail alone without the sheep, but we never did. Because it's a beautiful country. God's country.
And you would do that horseback or in a jeep?
Horseback. No jeep. Horseback.
So you said June 20th to September 15th.
Yeah.
And if you're bringing up 3,000 sheep, how many other bands are on the way? How many total sheep would leave the valley and go to the high country?
Well, the Ute Creek had 30,000 head. And the forest was covered. That is no longer happening because the forest has cut off all sheep and some cattle range. But there were 30,000 on Ute Creek. Bear Creek had some. Lost Trail had some. Some of the people from Montrose came up the west side and ate on the Rio Grande Forest. Some were grazed.
But there was a point where you crossed over into the San Juan Forest.
Yeah.
What was that point?
I don't know.
But you got close to Silverton.
Within 8 miles of Silverton. Around the head of the river, we couldn't cross cattle country. And So we went, stayed up around there. The Forest Service made our trail, and the trail markers, and we came back on the other side, just about 30 miles right here. As the crow flies.
Did anybody ever call the Lagerita Stock driveway a Ute Trail?
No.
Don't you think it was ever used by the Indians even earlier?
No. No, it's a because it had they didn't have any need for the Ute Trail because the simple reason they could go anywhere. They weren't confined to Forest Service regulations. The Utes had free rein to go everywhere, and that was way before my time. But there's artifacts that prove that they were there
on the Lagerita Trail.
Well, in the San Luis Valley and on the Cochetope and the Canaro. We didn't think about Indians, really.
Were there special places along the trail that had a specific meaning for the Mexican herders?
Well, there was one place that lightning had killed. It hit a man with wooden legs and killed his horse, and it didn't kill him. And there was one place on our range that one bolt of lightning had killed 300 head of ewes, and I helped bury him. They were in the buck breast, and one bolt got them on.
That's a lot of work with a shovel.
Yeah.
Did you try and take the fleece first?
No. I didn't. No, we didn't. I don't know why. They weren't our sheep.
What did you like best about those seasons in the forest?
Oh, the outdoors. I had 6 feet of fishing line around my hat and two flies, and then two flies in my billfold. And I, every once in a while, could slip down into a creek like this and catch fish for supper. And it was beautiful. We didn't have much time to play around. You had to pack four burros with panniers and boxes and the bedrolls and the stove and the tent and your provisions. And it took a lot of time. And then you had to unpack them every night and hobble your burros and hobble your horse. And then you had to get them in the morning. Sometimes those burros walked quite a ways in hobbles.